This is an expanded title, which I've you'll find out later where this came from. The Lord extolled for His greatness, goodness, glory, and generosity. Now, how many of you have heard somebody say, and this is probably universal, but somebody will say the phrase, God is good? Okay? How many of you have heard that? Okay? And then you've also sometimes heard, God is great, God is good. Right? You've heard that. I want to expand that today. God is great, God is good, God is glorious, and God is generous. So, you'll find out why today. That's the outline for the book, the passage. You'll have the whole thing summarized and outlined if you do that. So you'll find out as we go through. That's the outline of this passage. Again, I always put this in front of me to be thinking differently, to be thinking God's way, because we do not think like God thinks. We are not like Him. So we have to think differently. We have to think His way. When we read something, what does He intend us to know? I mentioned this before, but I thought I'd put it up here for those that are online and can read this. Pastor Hiley and his family have influenza type A, and since it's highly contagious, they are staying isolated. So keep them in your prayers. Again, it's my privilege to bring you teaching from God's beautiful Word. Today we'll be looking into Psalm 145. First, a bit of background before jumping into the direct study of this passage. The Psalms, or sometimes called the Psalter, teaches us overall to praise the Lord. That's the overriding theme of the entire book. Now, there's a grouping of five Psalms from 140 through 144 that cover prayer, a believer's prayer to the Lord for assistance when they have needs. So here's those five Psalms. A prayer for protection, a prayer for sanctification and protection, a prayer for help, a prayer for deliverance and guidance, and a prayer for rescue and prosperity. Do you notice the theme? Asking the Lord, asking the Lord, asking the Lord. And these five Psalms are in an order and then followed by Psalm 145, which before we get there, we ask, well, where did the help come from? It comes from the Lord. Listen to this from Psalm 121. I will lift up my eyes to the mountains. From where shall my help come? Where is my help going to come from? Where? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. Now, we're told that help comes from the Lord. After praying for assistance, Psalm 145 shows us the healthy, normal, natural response for the assistance given. That is to exalt, to extol, lift up and bless the Lord for all that He has done. We are supposed to be thankful for all that He's done. We've looked at that a couple times recently. Now, Psalm 145 has this general subject for it. The Lord extolled for His greatness, goodness, glory, and generosity. Now, it's not an accident that these are all G's. Somebody smart figured out that if you do things like this, it helps memory. And that's true when you do have things that help you to remember. And so it's a little bit of a trick because we can't find the word generosity in the passage, but you'll see that it means that. But the other three words are there, and we'll see how that goes in a minute. So here's the outline, and I took this from BibleOutlines.com. I almost had it, but I couldn't figure out the last one because I didn't have a G, and then they showed me, and so I put the fourth one is from them. The other three are from me. Introduction, His greatness, 3 to 6. His goodness, 7 to 10. His glory, 11 to 13. His generosity, 14 to 20. And the conclusion. That's the outline, and it's simple, and it's easy to follow. I like that. So let's begin our study. Now, one key from this psalm is that speaking and saying all about the Lord should be cultivated in each of our lives. Over and over again, we find in Scripture that it's necessary for the Lord to tell us to be thankful because we aren't. We need to be reminded. Isn't that odd? That we got to be reminded to thank somebody who does good for us. Remember we spent 2 weeks on cultivating thankfulness a while back? And then before that, we looked at other ways. So this is not something that we're ever going to finish teaching about because we don't get it. We need to be reminded. So I'll repeat it over. Now, a couple other things that are key in this passage is the way that the psalmist does this. I will extol, I will bless, I will bless, I will praise. Highly to be praised, one generation shall praise, shall declare, and men shall speak, I will tell, they shall eagerly utter and shall shout. They shall give thanks, they shall bless, they shall speak and talk and make known. Over and over and over again, we are to speak. Now, if you're not able to speak, you can think it. You can pray it to yourself. You can do sign language. Whatever communication you do is what's meant. In every way possible, communicate thankfulness to the one you're thankful to. Make it known. Talk about it. Speak about it. Give thanks. There's a bunch of ways to do it. The psalm focuses on four things about the Lord: His greatness, His goodness, His glory, and His generosity. You notice repeating things is something that is good for learning. So I'm going to do it a lot. A psalm of praise of David. The first part says a psalm of praise. Now technically psalm is not in the passage. It just says praise of David. A praise song, a hymn of praise is what it is. Of David. Now, 73 roughly of the Psalms are attributed to David, some in the title and some by inference of other ways, but we find he's written, there's 150 of them, so almost half are written by him. Do the math, 75 is half, so 73 is almost half. The Psalm is an acrostic or alphabetic Psalm. What does that mean? Each verse begins with another letter in the Hebrew alphabet, with one exception, the omission of the Hebrew letter nun, and we'll look at that a little bit later. So, in the Hebrew alphabet, the consonants, there are 22 of them. You'll notice there's only 21 verses. So, obviously, one letter is missing. Okay? Well, the letter is the Hebrew letter nun. All the other letters begin, each verse begins with a new letter in the Hebrew alphabet. Now, Psalm 119 takes this pattern to an extreme. There are 23 paragraphs, each with 8 verses that begin with the same letter for a total of 176 verses. That's where the poetic David got crazy and went out there and just figured out every single word that begins with Aleph, everything that words with Beth, every word that begins with Gimel, and so on. Every Hebrew letter he used in his, he knew a lot of words. So, here's the introduction, the first two verses. I will exalt you, my God, the King. I will bless your name forever and ever. I will exalt. I will extol. I will lift up. I will raise up to be prominent. Now, look at how this is said in Psalm 30. I will exalt you, Lord, for you have lifted me up and have not let my enemies rejoice over me. Now see, this is kind of a play on words. So I'm going to lift you up because you lifted me up. See how that is? So it's a way of saying, he lifted me up, I'm going to lift him up even higher. Lift him up, make him prominent, extol him. My God the King. Now this is, the word God in your English translations is the only place where Elo is used. All other occurrences to God are Jehovah. Now, Elo is a form of Elohim. That's where. So this is the one place where he says, my God, Elohim, the King. Every place else is Jehovah. And you'll see in most English Bibles, it'll just say the Lord. Some translations will say Jehovah or Yahweh, but that's there. Listen to the sound of my cry for help, my King and my God, for to you I pray. Over and over again, he's addressed as King and God. Now, David was one of many earthly kings, and he recognized that God was the king above all. Now think about David's kingdom, how large it was, how vast and gigantic his kingdom was. He said, I'm below this king. He's the king of all. My God and my king. A very personal statement. He is my God. He is my king. He wants us to have the same idea. I will bless. This is to kneel, salute, and praise. It's an honor that I'm giving to him. I'll bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. I'm going to honor him always. Notice in these first few verses, the phrase, I will, in your English translation. There's a definite choice for the things I'm going to do, I'm going to do. I will, I will, I will, I will. Verses 1, 2, and 6. Let's look at these. I will exalt you. I will bless you. I will bless you. I will praise you. I will tell of. I choose to do these things. Every day I will bless you, and I will praise your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless. Now, each and every day should be a day to bless the Lord. Not just when it's fun, not just when you're happy, not just when the weather's nice. Each and every day should be a day to bless the Lord. His praise should continue without end, and don't stop. I will praise your name forever and ever. A lot of people wonder how long that is. Well, it goes on and on and on and on. Now, to declare your goodness in the morning and your faithfulness by night, not just every day, but all during the day, we are to praise the Lord. Now, if you're looking for a New Year's resolution, it's okay to start today and choose to bless and praise the Lord each and every day, just in case you're looking for one. Some people like that kind of thing. You know, if you want to start a new leaf or start whatever those phrases are, today would be a good day to start. Find time to praise and bless the Lord every single day. His greatness, the first main subject of the four in this psalm, the greatness of the Lord. Great is the Lord and highly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. Verse 3. Great is the Lord. This is a phrase meaning high, important, and noble. Consider from Psalm 48, great is the Lord and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, his holy mountain. This is used over and over again in the scripture. Great is the Lord, great is the Lord, great is the Lord. For you are great and you do wondrous deeds. You alone are God. Okay, two parts to that. You personally are great and you also do wondrous deeds. It's not just because of what he does, but because of who he is. He is plain great without doing anything. But because of all he has done, he is great for both of them. He's personally great, and his wondrous deeds are great. He is alone God. There's no one like him. His greatness is unsearchable. Now, unsearchable is a very fun word. It's unnumerable, beyond investigation. Start counting, you're going to run out of time. I can't count them. This, sometimes it's used with an endless list. On and on. Yeah, keep counting, keep counting, keep counting. Start that. That's unsearchable. Consider, it is he who does great things, the unfathomable and wondrous works without number. That's what unsearchable is. Unfathomable. Without number, you'll never run out of things to count about how great he is. That's how great he is. It goes on and on. Oh, the depths and the riches both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and unfathomable his ways. This idea didn't just stop in the Old Testament. Today we have the same God. unsearchable, unfathomable. Wow. Amazing. That's what he is. Unsearchable. Now one generation will praise your works to another and declare your mighty acts. This one's interesting. It's important for generational knowledge of the Lord to be promoted. This seems to be missing today. Praise and declare the Lord's works and mighty acts to all generations. Now, consider from Psalm 22 the instruction, a posterity will serve him. It will be told of the Lord to the coming generation. They will come and declare his righteousness to a people who will be born that he has performed it. We are supposed to be telling the generations again and again about what the Lord has done. Tell your kids, tell your grandkids, tell your great-grandkids. Tell others to tell them. Don't have this knowledge be lost because somebody forgot to tell a family member, a relative, a cousin, a friend. Pass it on. This knowledge should be shared generationally. Of the glorious splendor of your majesty and on your wonderful works I will meditate. Now this is an interesting point. He just pauses for a minute and he starts to think. He's not directing it towards us necessarily, but we can do the same thing. Why did he do this? Why did he enter this? Because as he's telling everybody about this stuff, he starts thinking to himself, wow, this glorious splendor and majesty, your wonderful works, I'm going to meditate on that. On the glorious splendor, the honorable majesty and excellence, to make known to the sons of mankind your mighty acts and the glory of the majesty of your kingdom. I will meditate, I will muse, I will study. That's the idea here. Now think about this. Make me understand the way of your precepts, and I will meditate on your wonders. So as he's learning, he's thinking and pondering and mulling and considering over and over again. Now, it's okay to talk to yourself. Okay? People do that a lot. Mull over in your mind and think about things like this. Now, you know, everybody does this, and I bless my wife, she does this a lot, and others, do you know, friends and what are you doing? Who's in there with you? No, I'm just talking. Why did I do that? Why didn't I think of that? Okay. You know how that there's this person there with you almost all the time? That person is a healthy part of your life because they never talk back. Okay? You can just tell them anything. They'll listen. Okay? So talk to yourself, mull it over, think it over, and wonder. Okay? In a healthy way. Can be taken too far, but can be healthy. Now, once you do this, you switch back, and men will speak of the power of your awesome acts and will tell of your greatness. So, after first mulling the works of the Lord to yourself, now move on to share with others his power, awesome acts, and greatness. As you've been thinking about these things yourself, don't stop there. Talk to your friends. Tell other people. Share with them. I've been thinking about this. You know, that's a good way to start a conversation. You know, I've been thinking about something. And then tell them, what are you thinking about? Well, because that's the way people like. They like that open-ended stuff. Then they'll ask you, what are you thinking about? Then you can tell them, I've been thinking about the Lord. I've been thinking about what he's done. I've been thinking about what he might do. I've been thinking about, and it goes, it's a great way to start a conversation. You know, I've been thinking about something, and stop. See what they do. They'll ask. Now say to God, how awesome are your works because of the greatness of your power. Your enemies will pretend to obey you. This is kind of a tongue-in-cheek statement because sometimes people do pretend, but they're even afraid to admit that he's right. But they'll pretend. So we don't have to pretend. We know he's great. His greatness, verses 3 to 6. The Lord is great, number one. Number two, the goodness. The goodness of the Lord is the second of the four main subjects of this psalm. Now they will burst forth in speaking of your abundant goodness and will shout joyfully of your righteousness. They will burst forth. Now, there's a bunch of different ways this word is translated. They will eagerly utter. They will pour out. They will bubble up. You know how you got that can and you shake it and the top is just starting to open? You know, open that up after you shook that can, and what happens? It goes all, or put something in the stove and forget to go there and it's bubbling over. Okay, that's bursting forth, bubbling over. Have yourself be like that where you can't keep it in. That's it. I can't stop talking about this. I'm blowing up if I don't say something. That's the way it should feel in your heart. I gotta tell them. Don't contain yourself. Let it go. About your abundant goodness, your great abounding goodness and fairness. You know, I've been thinking about something. What have you been thinking about? How great and abundantly blessed I am because of the Lord. Tell them stuff like that. It's easy. This is the way to do it. Think in pieces and build it together. And I will shout joyfully. Not only am I bubbling up in a way that seems to be out of control, but I'm doing it with joy. Shouting joyfully is to joyfully cry out to exultation and to shout aloud. Okay? You don't have to whisper it. You can say, "How great is the Lord!" and shout it out with joy. Let your smile be there. Share how great He is. How great is your goodness, which you have stored up for those who fear you, which you have performed for those who take refuge in you before the sons of mankind. People will see and notice in your life how God is affecting you. Before the sons of mankind, you are the testimony to them of the Lord's goodness. Don't be afraid to hold it in. My tongue shall proclaim your righteousness, your praise all day long. The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, and great in mercy. This is a bunch of stuff in one verse. The Lord is gracious. He is courteous, agreeable, and pleasing. He's compassionate, merciful, and sympathetic. He is slow to anger. He is patient. And He is great in mercy, with loving kindness and fairness. Wow. What a great Lord. For you, Lord, are good and ready to forgive, and abundant in mercy to all who call upon you. But you, Lord, are a compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger and abundant in mercy and truth. These themes are carried throughout the Scripture, over and over again. I'm just showing some examples of this. But this isn't something new. But it's important. The Lord is good to all, and His mercies are over all His works. Again, His goodness to all. His agreeableness and His pleasantness is shown to all. And His mercies, His tender compassion. He's gentle. He's kind. He's merciful. He's soft. He's tender. When you got a wound, you don't want somebody slapping on a bandage. You want them to put it on carefully. When you're wounded, you want to be cared for with mercy, with tenderness. All your works will give thanks to you, and your godly ones will bless you. Now, all of creation is giving thanks to the Lord. Your godly ones are those faithful and pious. Now, here's one example. The heavens tell of the glory of God, and their expanse declares the work of His hands. All of His works. Remember what Jesus said when they told Him, "Keep them quiet," as He was walking through the city? If they are quiet, the rocks will speak. You remember that? The entire creation is waiting to speak, to praise Him. The heavens tell of the glory of God. Their expanse declares the work of His hands. In some poetic way, I don't understand what He meant exactly, but He says, you know what? If you all are quiet, these rocks are going to speak. So take your turn. I will proclaim your name to my brothers. In the midst of the assembly, I will praise you. Speak it. Say it. His goodness, verses 7 to 10. The Lord is great. The Lord is good. Next, His glory. The glory of the Lord is the third of the four subjects in this psalm. They will speak of the glory of your kingdom and talk of your power. So you've seen so far we've got three G's all in the English Bible that I'm looking at. So this wasn't hard to find the outline. We'll see the next one. Oops, I hit the wrong button there. They will talk of your power. Now verses 11 to 13 cover the testimony of the Lord's glory from these perspectives. The glory of His kingdom, the glory of His power, the glory of His mighty acts, the glory of His majesty, and the glory of His dominion. These are all in this section. The glory is the honor, the royal honor. The personage of the Lord is in a special place. It's royalty. It's honorable. Your kingdom, your reign, your royalty, and your power, your strength and your might. A glorious throne on high from the beginning is the place of our sanctuary. This is a glorious place, an honorable place, a place to be worshiping. To make known to the sons of mankind your mighty acts and the glory of the majesty of your kingdom. So we have two more, mighty acts and majesty. The testimony of the Lord's mighty acts and majesty and splendor of His kingdom is to be known worldwide. Consider what happened in certain areas of the world when there was a time, and you read in the Old Testament these stories about, well, why is this event there? Why is that there? And you'll notice that there's times when some of them will go into a land, and they'll go into an area, and they'll begin talking to them, and they will say, we have heard about your God. We have heard what He did to such and such a nation. We have heard what He did. We have heard. The reputation of the Lord is heard by others. And they see what He has done. And when they come into the land and this nation is there, they're saying, you know, their God is powerful. We've heard about Him. We're going to be careful with you. His majesty and splendor is to be known worldwide, and it is. Give thanks to the Lord, call upon His name, make His deeds known among the peoples. Tell it everywhere. And your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout all generations. This would be a whole message by itself. The Lord is King forever and ever. Nations have perished from His land. When He chooses, He can move things. Sometimes the timing isn't what we expect, but He does. Just think. This motley crew of Jews in Egypt as slaves, the entire nation of Egypt wiped by a group of motley slaves walking away with the Lord in front and behind them. He can cause things to happen when He chooses to. Consider from Nebuchadnezzar and Daniel. But at the end of that period, I, Nebuchadnezzar, raised my eyes toward heaven, and my reason returned to me, and I blessed the Most High and praised and honored Him who lives forever and ever. For His dominion is an everlasting dominion, and His kingdom endures from generation to generation. When the Lord speaks, people listen. Okay? The insurance company didn't invent that. The Lord did. Okay? You know that commercial with the, you know, somebody speaks. Well, here the Lord spoke, and they listened. Everlasting, enduring, forever. Now, this verse is a little tricky. There is a textual critique on this verse. Some of the newer translations, and I believe our Bibles in the Pew English Standard Version do show this, they add some additional lines to verse 13. My older Bible has two lines in this poetic section, but this section, the Lord is faithful in his words and holy in all his works, are added in some translations. Let's look at that just briefly. The Septuagint, which was a Greek translation of the Hebrew Bible, includes these two additional lines, Psalm 145, lines 3 and 4, meaning at least it was present in the Hebrew text when the Septuagint was written, when it was translated. And that was a couple hundred years roughly before the New Testament. So it was before Christianity started. Now, it is argued by some that these additional two lines were added to complete the acrostic full Hebrew alphabet in this psalm. You remember earlier I said there was one of the Hebrew letters was missing, and some have argued, well, a later scribe added this so that it could be a complete Hebrew alphabet. That's one argument to say these don't belong there. Others say the missing verse in the Masoretic text is thought to be a scribal error that occurred after the Septuagint was translated. So these are the two main thoughts on whether this should be or shouldn't be in the verse. I do not have the ability to judge if either of these two lines should be in this text or not. I technically don't know that. I have a thought about it, but I don't know for sure. So I'm going to leave it at that. Now here's how the ESV shows the verse with the parenthesis around the question text. You'll see the first two lines, your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout all generations. All of the Bibles have that in it. These additional two lines are only in some of the other newer ones, with the brackets around it to show that it might not be there. That's all I have to say about that. I do not think that this is a significant thing in the overall understanding of the biblical text, but just for full disclosure, I'll point that out. Next is glory. Summary from verse 11 to 13. The Lord is what? He is great. He is good. And he is glorious. So we've got three G's. Great, good, glorious. Now, the next one. Generosity. And that's where I looked at that Bible.com site to get this. The generosity of the Lord is the fourth of the main subject of this psalm. So to show the Lord's generosity, we see this. He supports, he raises up, he gives food, he opens his hands, he satisfies desires, he's righteous, he's kind, he's near, he will fulfill their desire, he hears their cry, he saves them, he keeps them. He is generous. It's a good word for that. Let's look at this text. First, the Lord supports all who fall down and raises up all who are bowed down. When he falls, he will not be hurled down because the Lord is the one who holds his hand. You're not alone. If you fall, you're not alone. He holds your hand. The Lord opens the eyes of those who are blind and raises up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The eyes of all look to you and give them their food in due time. They all wait for you to give them their food in due season. Boy, is he generous. He says, the New Testament tells us that he has rain fall in places where people don't like him. Okay? He lets it rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. They get to eat. Okay? He's generous. Sorry, I hit the wrong key. This finger fell down. Where was I? There we go. This is it. They all wait for you to give them their food in due season. Now, he also opens his hand and satisfies the desire of everything. An open hand is a gift. He's a giving God. He's generous. He doesn't just give a little bit. He gives generously. Open hand is the idea of giving. That's the idea of the Hebrew idea of an open hand. I give to you. I am generous with you. I will satisfy the desire of every living thing. You give to them and gather it up. You open your hand and they are satisfied with good. The open hand is a giving hand. Closed, finished, I'm going to hold on to this stuff. No, open, giving. That's what the Lord is. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and kind in all his works. These two things do go together. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yes, our God is compassionate. He has to be somehow patient and gracious and compassionate with people that are ornery. Okay? He's still right, but he's compassionate. The Lord is also near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. You want somebody close? You want somebody to help when you're hurting? You want somebody to be there when you need for help? You call on him. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. In those times when it's hurting so much, when you can't bear another day, when your heart is broken, when you're crushed, when you're falling apart, guess where he is? Where is he? He's right there. Wow. I don't have any friends in the world, Lord, and he's sitting right there with you. He puts his arm around you. I'm going to comfort you today. I'll bring you to a better place. Just be patient. Crushed in spirit, brokenhearted. Boy, it's nice to have someone that's near when you're there. And he is. For what great nation is there that has a God so near to it as the Lord our God whenever we call on him? Whenever. Okay, I have those days. You have those days. We may not be very cordial and kind and sweet and loving and peaceful. I'm just as mad as a goat and I'm going to bust something up. I'm going to give up. All those different crazy places that are really hard. Okay? Whenever. Whenever means that. Whenever. So, if your heart is broken, if your heart is crushed, God is near. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. He does it in a truthful way. Next, he will fulfill the desire of those who fear him. He will also hear their cry for help and save them. What do you want? What do you desire? What do you wish for? What are you hoping for? Wow. What do I do? Fear the Lord and cry for help. Fear the Lord and cry out for help. You have given him his heart's desire. You have not withheld the request of his lips. Pour your heart out to him. Tell him. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. This is not just pretend. He says it. He means it. Tell him. Lord, I'm going to delight myself in you, and my heart will be fulfilled. How does he do that? I don't know. But he does. Many of you have been in places like this and have cried out and found that it's true. Give it a try. There's a wonderful passage in the Old Testament that is translated this way in some verses. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Taste it. It's good. Give the Lord a chance. Tell him. This is the confidence which we have before him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he might listen. He may give us some time later tomorrow. He might come around next week. Or maybe in a little while he'll think, well, maybe I'll do something. No, he just hears. We have confidence that we ask it according to his will, he's listening. The eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous, and his ears are toward their cry for help. He's sitting there waiting. He's waiting. Remember the father that's waiting for the son who was lost? Remember? He's looking out the window. Is my son coming back today? Is he coming back today? Is that prodigal coming back today? He's waiting and looking. The story isn't about the prodigal son. The story is about the faithful father who was waiting for the son to come back. That's what our God is. He is the faithful father waiting for us to come back. His ears listen when we cry for help. His eyes look. His ears listen. He pays attention when we need him. The Lord watches over all who love him, but he will destroy all the wicked. Love the Lord, all his godly ones. The Lord watches over the faithful, but fully repays the one who acts arrogantly. Learn to love the Lord. He watches over you. But this isn't a blanket. Everybody gets this. The one who acts arrogantly will be treated different. So it does depend on you. Be godly, be faithful, and then let the Lord show his love to you. Because he has loved me, I will save him. I will set him securely on high because he has known my name. This son of mine loves me. I'm going to save him. I'm going to set him in a secure place because he knows my name. He knows who I am. I'm going to save him. He saves his children. His generosity is told. So God is great. God is good. God is glorious. And the Lord is generous. That's your outline. Conclusion, verse 21, my mouth will speak the praise of the Lord, and all flesh will bless his holy name forever and ever. My mouth is filled with your praise and all your glory all day long. Okay, bubbling up, bursting forth, uttering without end, you know, those are the kind of things. He's summarizing in this verse everything he said. I am just, have to say it. It's filled with your praise. It's coming out of my, bubbling out, you know. All day long, all night long, every day, all the time, over and over. Okay, rat-a-tat, keep it going, keep it going, keep it going. Do you ever stop talking about the Lord? Nope. That's what it says. I'm not going to stop. My mouth is filled. Okay? It's full. It's got to go somewhere. Everything that has breath shall praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. The last verse in the entire psalm says this. Okay? What's the point of the book? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. It's a broken record. No, it's a repeating theme. Wonderful news. Praise the Lord. I will exalt you, my God, the King, and I will bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you, and I will praise your name forever and ever. He starts and he ends with this, blessing and praising the name of the Lord forever and ever. Well, let's review the questions we asked at the beginning of our study over the last few times. Do you ever need protection? Okay. These are almost rhetorical, but I'll put them up there anyway. Sorry. Ask the Lord to rescue and protect you. Do you ever need sanctification and protection? Call to the Lord and ask for it. Do you ever need help? Continue to cry out for help. The Lord will rescue you. Do you ever need deliverance and guidance? The Lord will always be with you. You're not alone. Your journey is not an isolated, alone journey. He's there, sitting near you, next to you, close to you. Do you ever need rescue and prosperity? Do you hope for better things? Do you want to be taken out of this dungeon of life that you're in? Remember, the Lord is your refuge. Find your hope in Him. Considering all that the Lord is and has done for us, what should our response be? Outline of the book. The Lord is to be extolled and lifted up for His greatness, His goodness, His glory, and His generosity. May God bless the study of His Word today. Amen.